So we got to the three lines from the top on Pehe. The last word on the line says, "Im rov kusim kusi l'may hilchasa." So we learned yesterday that Shmuel is of the understanding that we don't follow rov when it comes to pikuach nefesh, and even if there's a small chance that a Jew is there, we would save them. So you look at Rashi. Rashi says three lines down. He says, "L'may hilchasa havikusi aliba de Shmuel." According to Shmuel, what was the significance if rov or kusim? Kevin Damar, he already holds mefachkin alav kol shkei de mitzvah lachayosa. Certainly, if there's a rov kusim, but there's a possibility there's a yid there, certainly you're going to save the life. So, of course, you're going to feed them food as well. L'may hilchasa havikusi. What is the significance of rov kusim? So the Gemara explains as follows. It says, Amar papa lahachilo nevelos. So you're allowed to serve nevelos. So you're allowed to save a person who's under the rubble if there's a chance that he's a Jew. But l'may, so we assume he's most likely not a Jew, and therefore you're allowed to serve him food. Rashi explains, treif and nevela. Says Rashi, lahachilo nevelos achi gadel v'kabal of geirus. So we don't know his status. We save him because maybe he's a Jew. We treat him as a non-Jew, however. When he becomes 13, we say, okay, if you're following, you're practicing like a Jew, be makabel geirus, and then you'll be a full-fledged Jew, and no more nevelos and trefos. Then the Gemara says, im rov Yisrael, Yisrael my hilchaza. So what's the significance when he says, if rov Yisrael, we assume he's a Yid? Of course. We said, even if it's me with the Yisrael, we're going to save him. So what's halach we learn from here? L'hach shel aveda. We return an aveda. The din is we only return an aveda to a Yid, not to a non-Jew. So if rov people of this community are Yisraelim, we assume he's a Yid, and you would return the Aveda. And then the final halacha, according to Shmuel, mechza, mechza, Yisrael. If it's 50-50, we also assume he's a Yid. So the Mahilchas are with respect to which halacha? So Amar Reish Lakish, Reish Lakish says, l'nezikin. Hey, chidami, which case in the nezikin is a big topic? So which area of nezikin we assume he's a Yid? Inema din nagche Torah didan l'Torah didei. If our ox gores his ox, so then normally we have to pay. If a Yid's ox scores another Yid's ox, you have to pay. But here, we don't know if he's a Yid or not. So if you want to collect money from me, I'm the Mazik, you're the Nizak, you want to collect, Naisi Raya Vanishka. You need to prove. Amotzi Mechavero Alafarai. You want to take money from me? You want to extract money from me? Prove you're a Yid. So that wouldn't be the case. We would not assume he's a Yid in that case. Lo Tricha Dinakhe Torah Didei, the Torah Didan. It's where his ox, the ox of this person, we're not sure, we're not 100% sure if he's a Yid or not, and he gores my ox. So then the din is, certainly he owes a palga di yahiv lay, he pays half. Because the way it works, if a yid is mazik, a yid shur, a shur of a Yisrael is mazik, another shur, so he pays chatzi nezek. If a shur of a goy is mazik, a shur of a Yisrael, he pays full. So we don't know if he owes half or full, but he certainly owes half, at least half he owes. So he pays half, palga yahiv lay, he pays half, and the idach palga, the other half, namely Aisi Raya, then the one who's collecting me, I have to bring a proof, the Lav Yisrael on a Peshaka. Prove to me, prove to the court that I'm not a Jew, and then you could collect the other half. That's the din. So just look at Rashi, just to make this all clear. Rashi says around six lines down, six narrow lines down, L'nezikin, Shor she Yisrael shenagach shakusi pater. If an ox of a Yid gores an ox of a kusi, he's pater. Vishur Shakusi, Shinagah Shayso, the other way around, Bain Tam Bain Muad, regardless of the status of the shore of the Kusi, he pays Mishalik Nezek Shalim. Vishal Yisrael, Shinagah Shayso, Tam Misham Chazi Nezek, and Muad Misham Nezek Shalim. So we're talking about Tam, that if a Yisrael's shore gores a Yisrael shore, he pays Chazi Nezek, then the other half, you have to prove that the owner of the shore of the Mazik is in fact a Gor. So now the Gemara says, quoting from the Mishnah further, Misha nafa lav mapolis v'chulis. So if a building falls on top of someone and we have to save him, safik whether he's there, safik if he's not there, safik if he's alive, safik if he's dead, safik is the kusi, safik is the Israel, the din is mefakin is a god. That's all the Mishnah. So Gemara says, my kamar, what's all the different cases? So lo mi boy kamar, it's a needless to say type of statement. Lo mi boy safik hu sham, safik ain't hu sham. You don't know if the person is under the rubble or not under the rubble. But if he's there, chayhu mifachin, if he's there, he's alive, we certainly would save him. We just don't know if he's there. But if he's there, he's definitely alive. So certainly in that case, you save him. Ela afilu savik chay, savik meis. Even if you don't know if he's alive or dead, then mifachin, you should also remove all the rubble and try to see if he's alive to save him. Velomi boy savik chay, savik meis. Needless to say, if he's not, we're not sure if he's alive or dead, the Yisrael. But afilu safik kusi safik yisrael. Even if you're not sure if he's a Jew or not a Jew, you owe some mifakin. So the Mishnah is just simply listing additional chidushim of when one would have to remove the rubble on Shabbos to see if he's alive and to save him. So then the Mishnah says an obvious point. The Mishnah says matzo chai mifakin. If you find that he's alive, then you certainly remove the rubble on Shabbos and save him. Pshita, of course, matzo chai pshita. You're not going to let him just sit there and die if he's alive. So, lo tzicha dafilu l'chayisha. Let's say you know he's only going to live for another hour. You know, the way his state is a terrible state, he'll have an hour left of his life. Even in that case, to save him just for chayisha, the din is you'd save him on Shabbos. So the interesting Prima Gadim talks about a case. Let's say a person who's on death row, and then the building collapses on him, does one have to save him on Shabbos or not? Is that chayisha? So Prima Gadim says, yeah, that's chayisha. So he says, therefore you should have to save such a person. But the Be'er Halacha writes, not true. We only save a person who was who cared about his own life, who was chas on his own chayisha. But a person who did an aveira, he did say that's chay misa, and he's on death row because of his own fault, that's not a person who's chas on his own chayisha. So if the person himself didn't care about his own life, we shouldn't care about his own life either, and such a person, says the Be'er Halacha, we would actually not save him on Shabbos. Yes, Sanhedrin. Yeah, not the American court, exactly. So then the Gemara says, "Im meis anichu." If you find that the person unfortunately is dead, so you leave him there until after Shabbos. Honame pshita. That's also obvious. You wouldn't violate a din Shabbos to unbury a person who's dead. So lo tzricha the Rebbe Yehuda ben Lakish. The Tanya ain matil and it's a meis mipnei adleika. If a person sees a fire, there's a dead body, and there's a fire that broke out in the house, and it's going to burn the dead body. You can't put it out. You're not saving a life. Unfortunately, the individual's dead already. So Amar Rabbi Yehuda ben Lakish, Shemati, I heard, Shematzilin es ha-meis mipnei adleika. You actually would put out the fire to save the mace. What does that mean you're saving the mace? Ve'afilu Rabbi Yehuda ben Lakish lo kamar el mitoch sh'adam bahu al meiso. It's only because a person is so concerned about his loved one who's dead, they don't want the member to be burned. So even though he's dead already. So lo sharis lai as lichbuye. If you don't allow him to remove the mace from the body, so not to put out the fire, but that the body's muksa. So he wants to take out the body so it doesn't get burnt. So if you don't let him take out the body, he might put out the fire entirely and be violating Itzer Deraisa. So therefore, we're makil on him saving the mace and violate muksa, lest he violate a more serious Itzer. But here, when the mace is underneath the rubble, about hacha ilo sharis, if we don't let them move the dead body out of the rubble, my isla the mevad. What could he do? So move the rocks. That's at worst, it's a din of muksa, it's not a din of Itzer Deraisa, and therefore there was no heter to move the mace from a building that had collapsed. Now they did talk, and the Rashash asks a question, there's an Itzer Deraisa. What do you mean? Digging up all the rocks and removing them, that's a binyan, that's sosar, isn't that some type of malacha? And he says, we're talking about where there are large boulders, large pieces of concrete, which is not considered attached to the ground. If you had small little pebbles, like little rocks there, then he says that is mevatel to the ground. That would be binyan, and that would be soser. But when it comes to large rocks, unless you're building a real building, just moving large boulders back and forth on the ground, the Rashash is mechadish, that's not considered binyan, that's not considered actually stira. So Gemara now says further. You could bring, so they talk about melacha she'en tzricha l'gufa. That's one of the suggestions they make as well. That's true. So then the Gemara says further, let's go weiter. The Gemara says, Tani Rabbanan, ad heichan hu bodek. So what, you find, let's say, the body, and you want to know if the body's alive. So what do you check? Do you check the pulse? Do you check the breathing? So at what point do you check in the body? Ad heichan hu bodek. Ad chotma, up until the nose, if you could feel the person breathing, so that you check into the nose, the nostrils. V'yesh omer, others say, ad libo, you check the heart to see if there's a pulse. So bodek umatza el yonim mesim. Let's say you find the top level. It's so sad we're talking about this now, obviously, because of Surfside last week. But let's say you found the top floors of the collapsed building that they were dead. Lo yomar kvar meisu atachtonim. You don't say the ones below are also certainly dead, because there could have been pockets of space where they were protected. So that's not necessarily true just because the top are dead. So meisu haya, the ones that happened, umatsu el yonim meisim v'tachtonim chayim. The same ones happened. They found the people on the top layer of the rubble dead, but those beneath were actually alive. So Neima Hani Tanai Kiani Tanai. Let's say this Tanai above about whether you check the nose or whether you check the heart is like the following Tanai as well. Where's the source of life come from? The Tani, the Brisa says, Mehechan Havlad Notzer. From where does a child, a fetus, where does it start its creation from? What's the center, the nucleus of the child as it gets bigger and bigger in the mother's womb? So Merosha begins from the head, and from the head it begins to grow downwards. Shinemar quotes the base in the Pasuk, Mimei Imo Ata Gozi. From the womb of the mother, you are Gozi. What's the word Gozi? Omer Gozi Nizarcha Vishlichu. Means to take out the hair. The second pasuk just to prove that the word nosy means to be a nezer, for the gozi is a head. So we see from here, from the gozi, from the head, is where the child begins to grow. That's the first understanding. And then it says, Abba Shol Omer, me tiburo, from the belly button, u mishalech shrush of elech ve'elech, and from the belly button begins to sprout out, and all the limbs begin to develop from there. So machlokes, was it from the body or from the head? So Gemara says, no. Afil tema abashal, even Shah Abashal will agree, ad kan lo kamar abashal hasam elalin yitzira. That abashal only felt when it came to the creation of a child, it begins from the center, from the tiboro, the chol midei mimitziyasa mitzah, everything starts from the beginning, from the center. It starts from the center and it gets bigger and bigger and bigger. That's in terms of the yitzira, in terms of the creation. Avalin and pikuach nefesh, to see if a person's alive or not, afil abashal will agree, mode, the ikr chayusa ba'ape, the ikr life source is from the mouth, from the nose, from the breathing, hu dechseva, kol asher nishmas ruach haim ba'apiv. So the way a child's created versus the way one inspects his life are different places. So then the Gemara says, Amra papa, machlokes mimata lamalo. This is all true when checking from below to up top. Meaning what? Let's say you found the feet first, and you check the feet, you finally found the heart. So if the heart was not pumping, so according to one man number, you assume the individual's dead. The other one said, no, even though you found the heart wasn't pumping, you could still check the breathing and go up higher. That was machlokes from bottom to top. However, the opposite of aval, when it comes to mimal lamata, if you start from the head, you go down to the nashu, you find that the nashu, there's no breathing, kaven debadik le'ad chodmo, you check the nose, shuvei no tzarech, you don't have to check any further, because that certainly is an indicator that there's no life anymore. Dichsiv kalash nishmas ruachayim bapiv, it goes based on the breathing. So again, according to this, everybody agrees you need the breathing, but there's a question whether you can have a heart not pumping and there can still be breathing. That is the machlokas between the two tanaim above. So Gemara says now on this topic of
pikuach. It's not pumping, that they cannot tell that it's pumping.
They can't tell that it's pumping, exactly right. They can't sense it, maybe.
Yeah,
so then the Gemara says, Kfar Haya Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Kiva, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, Mahalchim Bederach. They were once traveling, these three great tanaim. Vileva Hasadar, he was with them as well. Rabbi Yishmael ben Osher, Rabbi Yehuda ben Azariah, Mahalchin Acharem, and these two were following the three great tzaddikim in front. So Nishala Sheila Zubifneim, they raised the following Shaila, Minayin lepikuach nefesh shedoche es haShabbos. What is the source that we know we're allowed to violate Malacha in order to preserve, to save a life? So what's the answer? So first, Nana Rishon Yishmael gave his answer for Amar. He says, Im bimachteret yimatei haganav. If while tunneling underneath the house, you find the ganav underneath your house trying to steal and rob from you, umazesh yosavik, you have to stand up and protect yourself and kill this ganav if he comes into your house. Umazesh yosavik al mamon ba, yosavik al nefashes ba. You don't know what his intention is. The robber could be coming to kill you, or he could be coming just simply to rob. And yet, shvichas damim is metames haaretz, and we know how severe it is. It's metames haaretz. In this week's parsha, we learn the garm l'shchina l'shitis talik miyisrael, the cause of the shchina to leave. It's a very serious event, offense rather. And yet, nonetheless, nitein latzil benafsho, one could protect themselves by murdering the ganav, even though you don't even know if it's coming to kill you. And it's a serious event, you're allowed to do so. So, kavachom le bikuach nefesh, shedoch as a Shabbos, so certainly won't be allowed to save a person who's dying to violate Shabbos, because Shabbos, violating Shabbos does not seem to be as serious as a murder. So again, if I could protect myself, self-defense, I could violate an Aveira of Ritzicha, so certainly I could violate Shabbos to protect myself or someone else. That's the source according to Rabbi Shmuel. Nana Rabbi Kiva. Rabbi Kiva answered, he gave another source, the Chiyazit Isha Re'eyu, the person, I think this week's Parsha, right? Actually, no, it's a different Parsha of the murder. It's the end of Parsha Kisisa. So the Chiyazit Isha Re'eyu, the person kills someone else, Me'im Mizbechi Tikachenu Lamus, you take him from the Mizbeach to kill him. So Me'im Mizbechi, Flo Me'al Mizbechi. What's the difference between Me'im versus Me'al? Look at Rashi. Last two Rashi on the page here, Me'im Mizbechi, Im Kohenu, Sheba La'asir La'avod Avoda. If the Kohen's about to do an Avoda, you snatch him and you take him to kill him for murder. V'lo Me'al Mizbechi, but if he's actually doing Avoda, in the process of doing Avoda, Im Hishcheb Avoda, he's doing the Izrika, let's say, Ein Mafsik La'avod Lidan. We don't take him, we don't interrupt the Avoda, El Mashim Avoda, so finish your work and then come to Bezim. So you see from here that if he's in the middle of Avoda, we would let him continue the Avoda. What's the Raya? So Gemara says, V'amar Rabba Bar Bar Chana, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Lo Shano Ela Lahamis. This is only true in terms of having to kill him. Do we let him finish the Avoda? If it means to save someone, then afil ma'al mizbechi, we would interrupt his mizbeach zavoda to save someone's life. How would we need the kohen to do save someone's life? Look at the top Rashi and pay him and beis. Aval ha'chayos kigon sheyodei l'lamid zechus al adam shenidon rebezin leherag. Let's say he knows the kohen who's doing the avoda knows some testimony, some zechus to protect the person who's about to be killed. We interrupt the avoda in order to save that person's life who might be hanged or stoned or whatever might happen to him. We don't know if for sure this kohen knows Edus that's going to protect. It might be. So we get, nonetheless, we interrupt the avoda in case he has some zechus to protect the person. Va'avoda dochas Shabbos, and avoda is dochas Shabbos. So we see that saving a person overrides avoda, and avoda normally overrides Shabbos. So kavachomer pikuach nefesh shadochas Shabbos. So certainly one could save pikuach nefesh to override Shabbos. That's more direct. This is indirect. We stop avoda, which normally is dochas Shabbos. Maybe he's going to save someone's life. So certainly to vada save someone's life, to violate an avoda, to violate a melacha, would be allowed as well. That's a little bit more of a sophisticated raya. Then answers the third suggestion, four lines down on Pehe Amud Beis, Nana Rabbi Elazar. Amar, he said, Ma Mila, Shehi Echad Mimasayim V'Arbam Ushmona Evarm Sheba Adam. Doh Chesha Shabbos, we know Bris Mila, although it's only one of the 248 limbs on the body, we would Doh Chesha Shabbos to perform such a mitzvah. Kavachomer L'chol Gufo, Shedoh Chesha Shabbos. Certainly, to protect, to save a person's entire body, all Remach Evarm, we would Doh Chesha Shabbos as well. And then comes the fourth suggestion of the source of Biguach Nefesh, that's Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda, Omer Es Shabbosai Tishmaru, you should keep Shabbos, Yachal Achol, one might think for everything, Tamal Omer Ach Chalak, we don't keep Shabbos for everything, the word Ach is Chalak, it divides. We keep Shabbos almost for everything, but sometimes we have to violate Shabbos. When do we violate Shabbos? That's when it comes to saving a person's life, Biguach Nefesh. Comes the fifth answer, Rabbi Yonasan ben Yosef Omer, Ki Kodesh Hilachem, that Shabbos is Kodesh for you. What does it mean it's for you? He Mesur B'yadchem V'latem Mesur B'yada. Shabbos is given to your hands. You make decisions and you're not given to Shabbos' hands. I mean, you don't have to give your life up to keep Shabbos. Rather, Shabbos can be tweaked. Shabbos could be altered in your hands in order to save one's own life. That's the fifth answer. The sixth answer, this is almost the last one. Rabbi Shimon ben Menasseh Omer, V'shamu b'nei Yisrael asa Shabbos, Amr Torah, Chalal chila alav Shabbos achas, kidei sheyishmor Shabbosos harbe. That person should keep Shabbos, one Shabbos, it says, sometimes it's the Mechal Shabbos, to keep many Shabbosos. That's the Joshua he makes. If you look at Rashi, Rashi says, one line, first line down, V'shamu b'nei Yisrael asa Shabbos, Kidei lasos Shabbosos acheros, you should keep Shabbos to keep many more Shabbos, meaning Yizharu b'Shabbazu b'kim shmir Shabbosos harbo. This Shabbos means this Shabbos should allow you, empower you to keep more Shabbosos. What it means is if a person's going to die, he won't be zocha to keep more Shabbosos. So sometimes you have to violate this Shabbos in order to ensure other Shabbos is to come. There is an interesting question that's found in the postgame. Let's say a person is a shota. Shota has no das, does not have the ability to keep Shabbos. Can one violate Shabbos to save the life of a shota? It's not keeping where Shabbos is. He can't keep Shabbos. He doesn't know the halachas. So they say it depends on the different sources. If it's about just saving a life, it certainly can. But if the point is to keep additional Shabbos, he can't keep additional Shabbos, and maybe he shouldn't save his life. The Be'er Halacha concludes that one certainly could and should save the life of even a shota on Shabbos. And now comes the final answer. We have this structure many times where great Tanaim gave different answers, and Shmuel, who was an Amora, gave the best answer afterwards. So the Gemara says, the first wide line down, Amar Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, Ihava Hasam, had I been there in that conversation, on that walk, wherever they were walking to, I would have said, Hava Mina, Didi, Adifa Mi Didu. My answer would have been better than all of your answers. Very simple pasuk. This is what you all know, that you should live by the mitzvahs, that you should not die by the mitzvahs, of course, with the exception of the big three. Other than those three, a person should live by them. That was a very simple answer of Shmuel. So Amar Rava, Rava says, L'chulu islu pircha, all the other suggestions, the previous, I think it was six suggestions we made, all had a flaw, bar mi de Shmuel, with the exception of Shmuel's suggestion, de les be pircha, there is no pircha, there's no question. What are the questions we had on the previous answers? The Rabbi Shmuel, Dilma Kedrava. Rabbi Shmuel is one who learned from Bab Machteres. He says, Dilma Kedrava, maybe the robber is certainly coming to kill you, and it's self-defense. How do you know he's coming to kill you? Dama Rava, my time of the Machteres, why are you allowed to kill the robber who's tunneling into your house? Chazaka, there's a chazaka we have, ain't adam mamid asma al mamono. Everybody knows, no Bab Bas is letting his money be taken. He's standing up to protect his money. V'hai meida yada, the kailape. Now the robber knows that the homeowner is coming to protect his own money. So the robber says to himself, if their homeowner tries to defend his property, I'm going to kill him. So he is coming, maybe that's not his initial intention, he wants money, but he knows it's very likely that fight will turn into a battle, and it's going to turn into fighting and killing. One tries to kill you, you have to preempt by protecting yourself and killing them. So nothing to do with a case of pikuach nefesh, of a bringer raya from the Suffolk pikuach nefesh. This is a vaday pikuach nefesh case. So we learn from this, a vaday pikuach nefesh, a person could defend himself and violate a malach, violate an itzer ritzicha. But Suffolk minolim, but how do you know? We know that not only is vaday pikuach nefesh docha Shabbos, but even Suffolk pikuach nefesh is docha Shabbos. But there's no source of Suffolk in this case above machteris, Suffolk minolim, so this is not an adequate source of Suffolk pikuach nefesh on Shabbos. Comes along there, Rabbi Kiva. Rabbi Kiva, who learned from, he was a more of a complicated source, he was based on the guy, the Kohen doing the Avodah, we'd chop him from the Avodah to bring testimony to protect the guy who's on the stand. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Kiva Nami Dilma Kedabai, maybe this individual had Vaday Edis, Vaday Zechus to protect him. Why? Damar Bai says, Masrin Le Zuga de Rabbanon, we send two, a pair of Rabbanon to go get the Kohen doing the Avodah, Leida Im Mamash B'Dvar. They'll know for sure if he has got substance to his words. Not just anyone's going to come and interrupt the Avodah to give him an edus, so he know. We say, we're going to, listen, Reuven, you're doing the avoda right now, but supposedly you have something to tell us about Shimon to protect him. What do you have to say? And only if he has substance will we actually remove him. That's a vada bikuach nefesh. So v'ashkan vaday, but safek minolim. This does not serve as a source of a safek bikuach nefesh, and kula ashkan vaday, safek minolim. All of them have a good raya as a vada bikuach nefesh is docha Shabbos, but none of them have a good as a raya that safek Pikuach Nefesh is also Docha Shabbos, until we have the Shmuel, Vadei Lesa Pircha. Shmuel certainly has no question on his, V'chai B'hemims, you should live by them, whether it's a Vadei or even a Suffolk danger of one's life, one must live by the mitzvahs, not die by the mitzvahs. And the Gemara says, Amar Ravina V'yisem Rav Nachman Rav Yitzchak, Tava Chada Pilplasa Harifa Malei Tzana Dekari. That greater is one sharp pepper than a basket full, I think, of gourd. This is a statement that appears several times throughout Shas, with this, again, same structure of the Tanai making suggestions, and Shmuel making the best of them. He was the sharpest among, even from above the Tanai. New Mishnah. The Mishnah that you're all familiar with. Mishnah tells us, now we're getting to the basics of the Kapara of Yom HaKippur. So Gemara says, Chatas v'asham vaday mechaprim. When it comes to a person bringing a carbon chatas or a carbon asham, so he certainly gets a complete kapara. This, in contrast to, there is an asham talay which is not being addressed in the Mishnah here. An asham talay, if a person wasn't sure if he did an aveira or not, so he brings an asham talay which protects him until he knows vaday did an aveira, in which case he'd have to bring a carbon chatas. The Gemara then again says chatas v'asham vaday mechaprim. When a person brings those carbonos, he gets a complete kapara. Misa v'yom HaKippurim im hachuva. When it comes to a more serious aveda, a more serious aveira, so death and Yom Kippur, that combination along with tshuva, that's what's mechaper. Tshuva mechaperes al aveiros kalos al ase v'alos ase. Tshuva, if a person has charata, he goes through the whole process of a vidoy and so on, azivas hachet. So then it's mechaper on the low level isurim, whether it's a bitul ase, whether it's a los ase, v'alachamuros. On the more stringent aveiras, then hutola ad shiyavo Yom HaKippurim v'yechaper. It's not enough simply to say that I'm going to do tshuva. But when it comes to more serious events, you have to wait until you've gone to Yom Kippur, and then Yom Kippur, in combination with tshuva, that will provide a person with a kapara. Ha'omer echtev ashuva echtev ashuva ein maspikim biyadol asas tshuva. Person says, I'll sin, I'll do tshuva. I'll be fine. It's okay. I have the opportunity of tshuva. The Gemara says, ein maspikim biyadol asas tshuva. We don't allow him to do tshuva. Now, the Yitzchak Moshe says, we can't take this seriously, or literally, actually, because there's a klal, the Yushalmi tells us, the Zohar tells us, nothing stands in the way of tshuva. So what this means is, it's not going to be an easy tshuva form. Most people who do an aveira with the intent of doing tshuva have no regret. Charata is a basic formula of tshuva. So the person has no charata. But if the guy can really conjure up some charata, einachanami, he'll have tshuva as well. We would never recommend someone do this, but there's nothing that stands, nothing's omed b'fnei habal tshuva. So then the Gemara says, "Achtav Yom HaKippur mechaper, I'll sin and I'll wait till Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur will provide kapara to me. Ein Yom HaKippur mechaper, it will not work as well. Same thing, nothing stands in the way. It won't be an easy tshuva, but there has to be tshuva for everything. Averus shebein adam lemakom. If a person violates an avera that's between him and God, Yom HaKippur mechaper. Yom Kippur is mechaper. If you violated something, you didn't offend to a fellow Jew, then not only do you need Yom Kippur, but you also have to ask him for mechila as well in order to receive a kapara. So, Davar Shubal Lazar ben Azariah, Mikol Chatasechem Lefnei Hashem, Titaru, Averos Shebein Adam Lakom, Yom Kippur Mechaper. Averos Shebein Adam Lechavero, Ein Yom Kippur Mechaper Ad. So he brings this as a raya, the lefnei Hashem. When it comes to bein adam l'makom, Yom Kippur alone is going to be sufficient. When it comes to something bein adam l'chavero, you need the ritzoy as well. So Amar Rabbi Kiva, Ashreichem Yisrael lefnei miatam mitarim, a famous line of Rabbi Kiva, we should be so happy and grateful that we're able to be mechaper mitar in front of whom? In front of mi mitar shchem, avicham shebashmaim, our Father in Heaven, He's the one who provides a kapara to us, a tahara to us, v'zarakti aleichem maim tahorim v'tartim, He throws upon us waters of purity, and we're pure in that way. V'omer mikveh Yisrael, that the mikveh Yisrael, Hashem told me that was the mikveh Hashem, He purifies us, ma mikveh matar es hatimeim, avakadosh baruch hu matar es Yisrael, just like a mikveh is matar, that he who is tamei, so to kadosh baruch hu is matar, he who is a, who violated aveira. So Gemara now says, Ashem vaday in Ashem tali lo. So we see from here that the carbon, Ashem, carbon vaday do bring a kapara, but in Ashem tali, there's no complete kapara. Baha kapara ksiv bay, but doesn't it clearly say that Ashem tali does provide kapara? So Gemara says, Anohanach mechapre kapara gemura. A carbon Ashem and a carbon chatas provide a complete kapara, a clean slate. However, an Ashem tali is only a partial kapara, ain mechaper kapara gemura. Inami, alternately, Hanach ain acher mechaper kaparasan, Ashem Talay Achem Mechaper Kaparasam. Meaning, if one thing is Ashem Talay only provides a partial kapara, the other suggestion is after the kapara, there is still a kapara of Ashem Talay. But what that means is, look at the continuation right now to appreciate this. The Tznan, Chayav Echataos, Vashamos Vadarin, Sha'avar Alem Yom Kippurim, Chayavim. However, Ashamos Tulim Ptum. Let's say a person has got an outstanding carbon he needs to bring. He needs to bring a chatas. And then he doesn't bring it, and Yom Kippur comes. He still needs to bring the chatas afterwards. Same as Shuv and Ashem Vada. But let's say a person needs to bring an Ashem Ashem Tali, and he doesn't bring it yet. And the Yom Kippur comes, Yom Kippur actually exempts his obligation of bringing an Ashem Tali. That's the difference. So either the difference is whether or not it provides a complete kapara or a partial kapara, or the difference is whether Yom Kippur exempts you from having to bring the carbon or does not exempt you from the carbon. Let's go a few more lines. The Gemara says, Misa, V'yom HaKippurim Mechaprim in HaTshuva. So a combination of death plus Yom Kippur and tshuva provides kapara for the more serious averas. So ima tshuva in bifnei atma lo, only if there's tshuva, but if it's standing alone, it will not provide kapara. What that means is neima delo rebi. It's not like rebi. The Tanya rebi omer al kol averos shebatora bein ase tshuva bein lo ase tshuva yom kippur mechaper. Rebi says you don't need tshuva. Yom Kippur itself, the itzuma shayom, is actually mechaper person regardless of whether he did tshuva. That's against our Mishnah. In the exception, he says, there are three areas, three averos, that actually Yom Kippur is not mechaper for him. Chutz me parak ol, we'll read that parak ol, as Rashi says, hakofer b'kadosh baruch hu, one who denies HaKadosh Baruch Hu's existence. And the second one, it's not mechaper for in Megala Panim v'Torah, which Rashi says, Megala Panim v'Torah, three lines up, Dorish es HaTorah l'gnai. He somehow darshins the Torah in a very disgraceful, disrespectful way. That too, Yom Kippur is not mechaper for. And thirdly, one who's mefer bris baser, one who tries to deny having a bris milah, shim asa tshuva yom kippur mechaper. These require tshuva for Yom Kippur to have effect. V'im lo asa tshuva, he does not do kapa tshuva, then ein yom kippur mechaper. So we see Rebbe, in general, outside of these three mitzvahs, does not require tshuva. Well, our mission says you do require tshuva on every avera. So Gemara says, no. Afilu temer Rebbe, even Rebbe will go with our Mishnah. Tshuva by Yom Kippur, Yom Kippur lo by tshuva. If one does tshuva, so it's not complete until Yom Kippur comes. But you can have Yom Kippur without tshuva as well. Our Mishnah is talking about, one did tshuva, great. He did tshuva on, where are we now? In Tammuz? That's great, excellent. You don't have a complete kapara until Yom Kippur comes. But if a person goes to Yom Kippur, even though he didn't do tshuva, that would also provide kapara. That's the chiddush of Rebbe. So let's stop here. We'll quickly recap what we did. We start talking We start talking about the different Rov Kusim in terms of feeding an Avela. Rov Yisrael in terms of Mimachse Aveda, and Mechse in terms of the Nizikin of having to collect the Nizikin from such a person. And we said if a person, sometimes a building falls on a person, we save them whether or not we don't know if he's there or not there, whether we don't know if he's alive or not alive, whether we don't know if he's Jewish or not Jewish. And then we said if a person is alive, of course you save him, but even if he's only going to live for a few moments, Chai Shah, that's also worthwhile saving a person and violating Shabbos. We discussed the difference of saving a body from a fire, that would be allowed, as opposed to saving a body from rubble, that would not be allowed on Shabbos. Then we discuss where is the life source. How do you check a person if he's alive? Is it from the heart or is it from the nose? That's different than the way the world the person's created. A machlokas, whether it's created from the head first or from the center, but that might not be parallel to this machlokas, because even Abishol, who says that a child is created from the center, he might agree that the life source is tested from the nose. We said that's only true checking from bottom to top, first the heart and then the nose, but if you check the nose and there's no breathing, then there's no need to check the heart as well. We brought then the different sources of Pikuach Nefesh can be Docha Shabbos. Either we learn from Bal Machteres, or we learn from the removing the coin from the Mizbech, or from the Mila, Docha Mila on Shabbos, or from the Pasuk Eshab Sosai Tishmaru, or from Kikodesh Lachem, it's Mesur Lachem, or from Vishamu B'nei Yisrael on Shabbos. And then all those answers had a certain flaw. They only proved that valid Pikuach Nefesh, but not Tavik Pikuach Nefesh, until we finally brought Shmuel's answer, V'chai Behem, Lo Shei Musbehem. Then we had the Mishnah, famous Mishnah, about having to do different Karbanos, and Shuv, and Yom Kippur, Chamuros, and Kalos. And then we are Zocha to be Matarin from the Kadosh Baruch Hu. And then we said that there's a difference between Ashim Vada and Ashim Taloy. Ashim Vada is a Kapara Gemura. Ashim Taloy is only a partial Kapara. And also Yom Kippur, if it comes to Yom Kippur, you still bring the Ashim Vada after Yom Kippur, but Ashim Taloy is not brought after Yom Kippur. And then finally, Rabbi Shita, that although Tshuva requires Yom Kippur does not require Tshuva. Okay, everybody, have a wonderful day.